the picture of folk trying to build a democracy up and lift up all people, regardless of who they are. June the 29th on Pennsylvania and 3rd.
I'm Muiza Muntali, host of Africa Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Turn it around.
If we all could love one another, all the world could be as one. Just take time to love one another, all the world could be as one. Black man, white man, standing together, no more fighting to be done. Yellow, red man, dancing together, all the world could be as one.
And welcome to Heal DC. This is Joni Eisenberg. It is June 10th, 2024. We are spending this hour celebrating in dedication to Black Fathers. We're thankful to have three different segments in the program. We're going to start out in a moment with none other than C.R. Gibbs, who is the godfather of D.C. Black history. I would love to hear him each and every day. We're happy to have him on here with us today, talking about the role of Black men and Black fathers during D-Day. And we'll get to him in a moment. We're also, after that, we're going to be speaking with Frank Malone and Stuart Anderson, Frank with the 100 Black Fathers Organization, Stuart with Black Fathers Matter Project, which is working in collaboration with none other than Chuck Hicks. We're going to give Chuck an imaginary drum roll for the 5th annual Black Fathers Motorcade through Washington, D.C. It's going to be held this year on Saturday. You'll hear all the details in a few moments, Saturday at 12 noon. We are also, and then the end of the program, we're going to be hearing from Ayanna Gregory, who will be celebrating her dad in honor of a special play that's going to be held on Father's Day. We're giving a shout out to all dads, and I would like to take a moment. I was quite disturbed, as I am often these days, to wake up and hear that in Palestine over the weekend, 270 people were slaughtered, were killed by Israel, again, with our tax money. Doesn't it make you feel great to know how many people we're killing each and every day with our hard-earned dollars? And I was thinking about the fathers that were either lost just yesterday or the fathers that remain but lost their children. So we would also like to dedicate this show to the fathers and the family in Palestine, in Gaza, to know that someday soon, when we get organize strongly enough, we will end this horrific genocide and we will see peace for all the dads, for all the families. So we keep that in mind as we go through the hour. I don't know. Oh, Chuck is on there with us.
Good morning,
Good morning, Chuck. We are very proud of you and we're excited to be talking about your 5th annual Father's Day motorcade through the city. But if you could just, and I'm sorry to say quickly, just quickly tell us, we are so proud also of your dad. Tell the listeners who do not know why they should be proud of your dad, too.
Well, my dad was involved in the Civil Rights Movement. He founded a group called the Deacons for Defense. They were the first Black group to carry guns in the Civil Rights Movement for self-defense. And not only in Bogalusa, but throughout the South, they formed chapters because the police would not protect the Blacks in their neighborhoods. So the Black men protected their neighborhoods. That's it in a nutshell.
Yes, and Chuck Hicks, Chuck, your dad's name was?
Robert Hicks.
Robert Hicks, and he is now honored in Bogalusa, Louisiana. And he made this arrangement to start the Deacons for Defense none other than, I think it was the day that Malcolm X was assassinated.
Correct. And he's also in the African American Museum of History and Culture.
Absolutely. And a very, very historic and important father. We've spent time talking about him in the past, but we should always honor Chuck's dad. Very, very heroic. Dad, we're proud to have you with us. And with that said, we are also extremely proud to have Mr. C.R. Gibbs on with us. And of course, we call him the godfather of D.C. Black history. He's the author of at least 6 books. And we're very proud to that he is in our community. He is a special jewel and a treasure in our community here in Washington, D.C. So he's going to, and he will be on with us next week talking about Juneteenth. But today he contacted me and said he wanted to share important information about the role of Black men with regards to D-Day. So welcome, Mr. Gibbs. Oh, speak up. We can't hear you. Okay. Okay, the basic stuff is working, I suppose, and I see Mr. Gibbs is on there. I think he has to unmute himself. I see it's still muted. If he can't unmute himself because we have limited time, then Mikey can give him a phone call. We're thankful to still have the old-fashioned phone call that still works. So, Mikey, maybe you might want to try that, because I certainly cannot speak to this issue until we... Okay. Chuck, since we have an extra moment, one of the...
Am I unmuted now?
Oh, terrific. Yay! Oh. See, our guests are so thankful. You're unmuted. So, and I can see you, but the listeners cannot see you. Tell us about D-Day and why it's so important that we know about this fact that, of course, the lamestream media in this country is not going to tell us. Tell us the role of Black men. First of all, tell us what D-Day is or was for the many young people who do not know.
D-Day has become associated with the invasion of Europe by Allied forces on June 6th, 1944. Can you hear me?
We're having If we have trouble, you're breaking in and out a little bit, so keep going.
Okay. The invasion of Europe by the Allied forces on June 6th, 1944. It was the largest amphibious assault in history.
And what does amphibious mean?
Well over 100,000 individuals. It means that they came off by land and sea. They came in on the water and landed on the land, on the coast of France. And while this has been the subject of innumerable movies, Black folk continue to get left out. Probably the 40th or 50th anniversary, some years ago, for D-Day, I heard a Black DJ say that, there were no Blacks on D-Day. The brothers just stood back and let the white boys do their thing, which was not only wildly inaccurate, but insulting. And so I was able to get the Afro to let me write an article called D-Day's Forgotten Black Soldiers. And since that time, my fires, particularly after lecturing in St. Petersburg, Florida, to a group of Black veterans, and see how those elders bent over, still carried the flag, still wore the uniforms with such great pride. And so whenever I got the chance after that, I told the story of some 2,000 men with more that constantly came throughout the day. And I'm pleased to know that people are now somewhat more aware of the 320th Barrage Balloon Battalion, the only black combat unit on Omaha Beach. They were also, a portion of that unit was also on Utah Beach. Of the five beaches, three were assigned to English forces, but two were assigned to Americans. And the toughest by far was Omaha, and the American forces got that beach. When they called it Bloody Omaha, they weren't kidding. The purpose of the Barrage Balloon Battalion was to send aloft large balloons attached by cables to the land to deter aircraft attacks. And I'm sure, as Chuck knows and you, Joni, you can't show up near the middle of the battle or at the end to, if your mission is to protect the beach. You have to come in early. You have to be there among the first. And this is how they did such an extraordinary job that they would later be commended by General Eisenhower. And with that, we get into Waverly Woodson, who was now, I suppose, the best known of the black men to fight in with the 320th Barrage Balloon Battalion. And here was a young fella who was wounded in the back and in the groin, but such was his devotion to duty that he helped other people on Bloody Omaha. We believe that his efforts to staunch the flow of blood, to bring ease to torn bodies, may have saved the lives of 200 soldiers, up to 200 soldiers. So we, of course, he was not fully acknowledged by his country, not immediately, and not through much of his career, which is why I believe that he left the army in 1952. We know him now today, as I say, the best known veteran of Omaha, but a beach, but far from the only one. 1,200 black soldiers landed at the neighboring beach, Utah Beach. And what we say in the official history is that in the force of 31,912 landing on Utah Beach, approximately 1,200 were black men. Troops of the remaining battery of the 320th, as well as the 582nd Engineer Dump Truck Company, the 385th Quartermaster Truck Company, the 490th Port Battalion, and port companies. And if there's one place that black men played a major role, it was with the port companies during the D-Day landings. Their mission was to bring supplies from England, and at often a great risk, they drove through the bloody surf and took their trucks and put the supplies right on the beach. There is a famous picture of a black medic on Deep Plus 3 patching up a white soldier. So we were there on the first day and throughout. We just don't get credit for it. And that's the thing, so that someone who knew so little could insult the black veteran is by saying the brothers just stood back, when again, that was not the case. And I appreciative to you, as I was appreciative so many years ago to the folks from the Washington Afro-American, for understanding that we have to put the truth out. And I don't care what we may misunderstand, as long as we've heard it, but we need to do that. Two other things, if I may. People say, well, why isn't it better known? Let me give you two very short reasons why.
I would say one word is racism.
The famed Hollywood director, John Ford, was on. Yes. And the fact that it was more important to the army to Jim Crow, the black soldiers, it seems, than having an efficient military force. But John Ford, the great Hollywood director, says this: I remember one colored man in a amphibious vehicle. We call it a duck. If anybody here remembers the old tour company, DC Ducks, that's what a duck vehicle is. He says he dropped them on the beach. He loaded supplies off of his duck, put them on the beach. John Ford says he dropped them on the beach, unloaded, and then went back for more. I watched fascinated. Shells all around him. The Germans were really after him. He avoided every obstacle and just kept going back and forth, completely calm. I thought, by God, if there's any man who deserves a medal, that man does. We don't even know his name. The man who provided technical information for Saving Private Ryan, Stephen Ambrose, says that when he gave the producers information on the black soldiers at D-Day, and they, quote, told him, "We're going in another direction. We're going in another direction." So when we try to see, it's hard to get the truth out, but I'm glad that at least a glimmer of recognition is falling on the
absolutely and
those
we
magnificent men from the truck companies, the port companies, and I'm sorry,
next time we're going to go back to the old-fashioned telephone, which thank goodness we still have that. We were supposed to talk with Frank Malone, who was our next guest, but whose family and his dad fought in D-Day, and Mr. Gibbs, if you could hang on for a moment, and hopefully we will get Frank Malone on, because he's on for our next segment. But is that okay? But we're gonna so CR, just hang in there for a moment. We're gonna jump into our next segment, and when Frank comes back, we'll jump back in. We're gonna be talking now with Stuart Anderson with the DC Black Fathers Matter Project, and with Frank Malone with 100 Fathers of D.C. to talk about what they're doing this week for in honor of Black Fathers. And Frank will be on with us in a moment. But Stuart, you could get us rolling and tell us what is happening on Saturday. You are one of the great leaders of that inspiring Black Fathers Motorcade started by our own Chuck Hicks through D.C. So get us going, and then we're going to jump back with Frank.
Wonderful. First and foremost, let me say thank you to both Joni and Chuck and the whole WPFW family for all of the work that you guys have been doing over the many years that I've known anything about WPFW and the work, and just keeping people connected to things that are happening in our community. And a special thanks to Chuck again for his whole thought process behind the idea of this motorcade. So the DC Black History Celebration Committee came together, you know, to figure out how best to put together some sort of celebratory activity around Father's Day. We know Father's Day, you know, wasn't something that was always promoted and talked about and celebrated when we look at, you know, how other celebrations take place, specifically Mother's Day, you know. And so Father's Day became kind of like a spinoff on that. And in our conversations, you know, Chuck and I work on a lot of different projects together. You know, he said, "Stu, we should do the Father's Day motorcade." I said, "Okay," you know. And so 6 years ago, was it, Chuck?
Five.
This is six, though, right?
This is the fifth.
Oh, this is the fifth? Okay, all right. You know, I'm involved in so much. Okay, so this will be the fifth kind of collective kind of celebrations for dads here in the District of Columbia. What we've done in the past is what we'll plan to do on the 15th. Hopefully Tyrone will join us and Frank will join us to talk about some other things that will happen on the 14th, that Friday. I thought it was a great idea to move it from, because the last four were done on Father's Day.
Right.
And so this year we're doing it the day before. We're going to convene, as we have over the last 5 years, at the African American Civil War Museum right up on Vermont Avenue. We're gonna convene there. We'll get together. We're going to gather. We're going to have a lot of stuff. We're going to help people adorn their cars. And then we'll step off and we'll travel our route. I'll tell you about the route in a minute. But at 10:30, we will begin to gather in front of the African American Civil War Museum, and people get a chance. Yes.
Memorial. Yep. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought that was a question.
No. That's the memorial because the museum is closed, but that's at 10th and U, right near the Green Line Metro. All you have to do is step out of the Metro and you're there.
Yes, that's correct. And so we will gather there. We will help each other adorn our cars. We'll have a prayer and rally ceremony. Several people will talk and speak about, maybe some people will talk about their relationships with their fathers and why it's so important for us to be there and be having this event.
Okay.
At 12. So between 10 and 12, we will adorn cars, get ready, line up, and then we will drive off. People say, oh, we're going to step off. What's the step off time? We don't have a step off time. We're going to drive off, right? And so we will go north on Vermont, and it's not even a block till we get to U Street. We'll make the right on U Street. We'll proceed straight down U Street all the way down. It'll turn into Florida Avenue. We will continue across New York, North Capitol, New York Avenue, and then we'll get right there by the corner of Gallaudet. And this is a strange twist, Chuck, and I hope you're gonna accept this twist. I meant to call you yesterday. We'll make that left turn, not on West Virginia, but we'll make that left turn on 6th Street so that we go up 6th Street and we come down and we catch an additional two blocks of Mount Oliver Road so that we can go past the youth facility right there where those young fathers who are confined in that facility will be able to look out their windows and hear us as we go by celebrating dads. So I hope that you accept that friendly amendment to our route.
I like your brilliance, too.
Okay. And so,
right on time.
Yes, indeed. So I'm glad to get a ratification of that. And so we will continue down. Yes.
What we might quickly do is that we'll figure out a way to leave about 50 of those posters for the brothers incorporated. The poster that we give out that says Black Fathers Matter, Black Lives Matter, we'll be giving out hundreds of those. So we'll make arrangements to leave some at the facility.
Definitely. Definitely we can do that. And again, I will begin to put the signs out this week all along the route, and we'll have those markers along the way. We'll continue down Mount Olivet and go across West Virginia until it turns into 17th Street. Right as we go across Bladensburg Road, we'll come down 17th Street to Benning Road, and we'll make that left turn on Benning Road. And, okay. And for those who may not be as clear on the geography, we will have already gone through two of the four wards that we will touch with this procession. As we go down Benning Road, we'll then go in towards 7. We'll continue down Benning Road, past the Chateau. Got to give you some landmarks. We'll go over the bridge, make the right on Minnesota Avenue, and we will then traverse down Minnesota Avenue.
Okay, Stuart, we're just about out of time. If people want more information, Chuck, what is the number? You want to give up?
I can give you the number. 202-240-1182. That's 202-240-1182 for more information. Or you can always shoot us an email at blackfathersmatters2020@gmail.com. Okay. Is that right, Chuck?
Got it right. Got it correct.
Yes, and this is a very inspiring event. Again, the motorcade will leave at 12 noon. You can get there early if you'd like, starting at 10:30, 12 noon at the African American Memorial, Civil War Memorial, and it will land at the big chair, the motorcade, very, very, very inspiring, led by none other than Stuart Anderson. It's quite something to see him moving all those cars forward through the district. And again, winding up at the big chair in Anacostia. We're going to jump now to Frank Malone. Is Frank on Zoom? We're having some... Frank is on the telephone. Very good. Frank Malone, before... Frank, introduce yourself. You are with the 100 Black, D.C. 100 Black Fathers.
I'm with the 100 Black Fathers, but I'm speaking on behalf of the DMV and D.C. Fatherhood Coalition.
Okay, Frank.
I want to give honor to you and to Chuck Hicks for the great work y'all are doing this weekend.
Okay. Frank, before you talk about this weekend, you shared with me that your dad and your family, other members of your family, was involved with D-Day. And we still have Mr. C.R. Gibbs on, waiting for you to just share quickly the way you shared with me yesterday about your dad and D-Day.
My father in D.C. was known as the commander. He was the head of the veterans of foreign wars in D.C. and helped to establish the headquarters over there in Ward 5 off Kenworth Avenue. He fought in World War II. He drove the Red Ball Express. That was a truck that brought munitions and bodies back from the front line to the back line. World War II. He was in France. And he did go back. He did get a chance to meet the Prince Charles, who is now the King, at the World War II Memorial in D.C. and shook his hand. So we, our family, our entire family fought in that war, my Uncle Billy, my Uncle James. So we supported this country with our lives.
Yes.
Yes.
And Mr. Gibbs? You have your final words to share with us? Anyway, perhaps...
I think Mr. Malone has done the heavy lifting. His family personifies the kinds of stories that we all need to be more about, where we move indeed beyond just individual acts of patriotism, but in fact we find families consistently in our community.
Yes.
That have laid it on the line. And when you talk about putting your soul on the altar of freedom, people like Mr. Malone's family are living examples of that. And thank you, sir. Thank you for your contributions.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. C.R. Gibbs. We're going to keep rolling right now, and we're going to end up with another dad who's put his soul on the altar of freedom, and that is Mr. Dick Gregory. But we have a few minutes more with Frank Malone. Frank, tell us what is happening on Friday.
Well, we have, it's not just Friday, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay.
Under the D.C. Fatherhood Coalition, we connected with Mr. Black History and Stuart Anderson to combine. Friday night, we're doing the Fathers and Families Reunion, and that will be an event with Howard University at the Wonder Bread Factory. And we're going to honor the lives of children lost to fathers. We haven't done that yet. We're going to do a healing ceremony, and then the 100 Fathers will present on the 21st century father and man. Who is that? We need to define for ourselves who we are. So we will do that and then have a conversation interactively with the people who attend. Then on Saturday, of course, Stu has already given you the outstanding...
Frank, I want you to stay a little more on Friday. What you shared with me last night, could you repeat that this is going to be in support of dads who lost their children through gun violence? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Let us say that again, because there are listeners out there, some of whom I know. I want to give a shout out to James Sherrod, who's my longtime friend, Chuck's longtime friend, whose son was killed 2 summers ago by a police person in Washington, D.C. So when a dad loses a child due to gun violence, as did Tyrone Parker many years ago, that's how Tyrone was inspired to start the Alliance for Conserved Men. So that what you're doing, Frank, on Friday is extremely important. So tell listeners, when does it start, and the address, and the basic outline in terms of time on Friday.
If let me first say this, it started when Reverend Delonte Goldston and Dr. Roger Mitchell went to the funeral of the 3-year-old girl over in Southeast that was shot and killed. And that father expressed his remorse and was mourning in such a way that we said, hey, we got to do some healing for all the fathers who have lost their children to violence. That's how this came about. And so Friday we'll do the Fathers and Families Reunion at the Wonder Bread Factory. You can go on Eventbrite and sign up for free.
Okay.
And be a part of a great, great program for fathers and men and families.
Okay, Frank, for as and I'm still listening to Bob and Dick Gregory, who would ask you, is there a phone number for people? And
yes.
I know personally some of the people that I know are going to have trouble going on to Eventbrite. So what is the simplest way? What time does it start? What time?
It starts at 6 o'clock from 6 to 8.
6 to 8 at night?
Catered. Yes, 6 to 8 in the evening.
Okay,
we
Friday.
We need you to get there by 5:30.
Okay, so it's not a daytime event. It's an evening event.
Yes.
It's okay.
Located at 641 S Street, Northwest, on the rooftop. This will be a rooftop event. We got the Howard Center for Excellence, New Bethel Church. We have about 20 organizations that are part of the D.C. Fatherhood Coalition supporting this event.
And this is 641 S Street, as in
S as in Sam Street. Yes.
641 S Street, Northwest.
Northwest. On the rooftop.
On the rooftop. That sounds great.
That's the Wonder Bread Factory.
And that'll be 5:30, and it'll go till?
Till 8 o'clock.
Till 8 o'clock. And there will be, you'll be talking about how, one of the things you'll be talking about is how Black fathers can be continually healing from the loss of their children due to gun violence. Correct?
We're going to do a healing ceremony, pouring libations. We're going to have African drummers. It's going to be a powerful, powerful program for fathers to initiate the healing they need. And so Reverend Delonte Goldston and Dr. Roger Mitchell will head that part of the program up. After that, the 100 fathers will reveal the 21st century father and man. Who are these men that we call a father? And then after that, we'll have a conversation with the audience, interactive. That'll be facilitated. It's going to be a great event.
And for people who have trouble with the Eventbrite and whatnot, can they show up? Can they just show up?
Yes, they can.
Okay.
Yes, they can. Yes.
So that's 641 S as in Sam Street, Northwest.
Northwest.
At 5:30.
Right. Now, Anthony Motley is in charge of this event, the Reverend Anthony Motley. But I will give you the 100 Fathers business number. Our number is 202-640-3351. Our website is www.100fathers.org.
Okay.
But this is one of three magnificent events.
Okay. So we pretty much know what's happening on Saturday. So
yes.
But Friday again, people can just show up at 5:30 at 641 S Street,
Northwest.
You'll get a wonderful dinner, and you'll get a healing ceremony and much, much more. That is Friday from 5:30 till 8. You can call 202-640-3351. Then Saturday, you're going to be involved with Chuck's D.C. Black Fathers Motorcade through the city. And then Sunday, tell us what is happening Sunday at Union Temple.
Sunday, the 14th annual Fathers of the Year. We didn't just start this. We've been doing this for 14 years. This year, the Father of the Year, selected by the committee, is Mr. Kamal Ali of Ben Chili Bowl, who's been out here in the community making things happen. But we're going to appoint 8 Fathers of the Year, the Incarcerated Father of the Year, the Returning Citizen Father of the Year, the Community Father of the Year, the Faith-Based Father of the Year. This will occur at 9:30 a.m. at Union Temple Baptist Church for the 14th consecutive year. And we're proud of this. Tyrone Parker, Terrence Staley, and the committee, and Norm Nixon from Union Temple Church also have planned after that a brunch for scholarships after the ceremony. So there's a lot for fathers to do this weekend, more than I've ever seen since we've been pushing fatherhood for the past 20 years.
Absolutely. So we are very thankful and proud of what you brothers are doing in honor of Black Fathers. Again, thanks to Stuart Anderson. And it's worth it going out on Saturday just to see how Stuart makes sure. How many cars, Stuart, would you say usually join? It seemed like it's hundreds.
So I was definitely going to say there's normally at least 100 cars in this procession.
Yes.
And definitely we think that this year is going to be a few more cars. A lot of other people have been asking us about it. And we went into the planning mode for this one a little bit earlier than we did. And, of course, with the assistance of a show like WPFW Radio, you know, we've been able to reach out and tell more people about it as we plan for this 5th annual event.
Yes, so everybody is welcome. We really encourage everybody to come out Saturday to the motorcade and to come out Friday night for the, Frank, what is the name of your event?
I didn't give you the theme.
The theme
is celebrating fatherhood, a cause greater than self. Celebrating fatherhood, a cause greater than self, which embodies people like Chuck Hicks and Stuart Anderson, who do so much more than who they are for so many people. That's what a father's job is.
Absolutely.
To serve his community and his family.
Absolutely. And we thank you, Frank Malone, and we thank you, Stuart Anderson. We're going to move into our next segment and final segment in a moment, honoring Baba Dick Gregory. But before we go there, Chuck, did you have any final thing to say about Saturday or Friday?
A couple quick things, Johnny. One is that when we talk about the Black Fathers Motorcade, I want to make sure that we are including women.
Yes.
Because Black women have brothers, fathers, uncles, nephews, friends, and they all matter. And so it's not just exclusively for Black fathers, it's for Black men. This is Father's Day, it's all about Black men matter, Black lives matter. And so we want to make sure that the sisters, as well as all the brothers and uncles and cousins, all are part of this. And my caveat to something that was said earlier about World War One is that one of the things that we learned in Bogalusa, while my dad was forming the Deacons, there was a civil rights movement being formed, and a guy who was in World War One said he fought in Normandy and he came back, and that's why he's involved in the civil rights movement now to get what he deserves in this country. So a lot of the Black men who were involved in the civil rights movement, early civil rights movement, came out of World War One because they had the military training. They knew how to
World
do things.
War II.
All that sort of stuff. So it's a really good connection there that most people don't realize, the roles that those black men who went to World War One when they came back had to be in to agitate and to fight for the change that we're still fighting for. But we look forward to seeing everybody come on out. Decorate your cars, and of course, we've got these wonderful signs that will be given out that says Black Fathers Matter, Black Lives Matter. And every call, we get about 50 signs. We got about 5,000 signs that will be given out.
Very,
quick
very
question, Chuck. Quick question, Chuck. So I know that there was this organization down there also, and I was wondering whether it came before or after the Civil War movement. The Deacons for the Defense.
The Deacons for the Defense came after the Civil War. They actually started during the Civil Rights Movement. I'll give you there's a book out called The Deacons that you can read about. The Deacons came out of the Civil Rights Movement, but it foretold in terms of the World War One when people, black men, went to it. In Europe and then had to come back and face discrimination. That began the agitation for it. But the first black group in the civil rights movement that was self-defense rather than just marching and talking about freedom began to protect their neighborhoods from the Klan and people who were coming in shooting and killing black men, black women, and children.
Right, and Chuck's dad organized deacons to stand on the rooftop of where he lived to defend themselves against the Klan marching in. So we someday will have a whole special event with Deacons of Defense. But now we are moving on to our final segment with where we're honoring Baba Dick Gregory with none other than Ayanna Gregory. And we're going to open up with her part of her song, ballad. Ayanna, help me out with the name of the song. Anyway, let's hear it. Mikey.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. 1932, somehow Mama knew God had a plan for you. With a light around your head, some tried to hurt you, but you made them laugh instead. Funny man, superstar, change of plans, the movement called. 10 kids and a wife, but human rights became your life. Like all the universal pearls, you belong to the world. Golden heart, brilliant mind, so ahead of your time. Black man with the keys in your hands, you opened up the way for a new day. As a little girl, I didn't know what you meant to this world. But if I had a dime for every time somebody told me that you saved their life and changed their mind. You planted seeds so long ago deep in me so I would grow into a flower who loves herself. Dad, I had to tell you myself. So proud of what you stand for all these years that you've endured.
And we will hear the rest of that beautiful song before we leave. Ballad for My Father. And we're so thankful and excited to have none other than Sister Ayanna Gregory on with us now to talk about her dad. And of course, her dad in many ways represents a lot of other dads that may not be known. But we want to also congratulate Ayanna for being honored on Saturday with in honor of the ancestors. But let me first welcome. Welcome, Ayana.
Honey, thank you so much.
And before we talk about your dad, who is an ancestor, he's an ancestor that I know I'm in touch with quite a bit. Tell us, just briefly tell us, you were honored on Saturday, I believe, at Union Temple. And what was that event?
Yes, that was sponsored by Adasi. And it was a really, really powerful ceremony that they have annually. They've been having this, Adasi's been around for what, over 32 years or so?
Yes.
32, okay, because Mama Tendai reminded, Mama Yuri reminded me that I was at the very first one in 1993 performing with 2000 Black. but anyway, so I was one of several honorees who was given the, in the footsteps, I can't remember, I'm not looking at it right now, but in the footsteps of our ancestors.
Yes,
yeah, and I believe. In the footsteps of our ancestors award.
Yes,
and so it was just powerful. It was so beautiful. Yeah, walking in the footsteps of our ancestors. So it was incredible to be honored among others. There were several others. Dr. Greg Carr was honored. Atlantis Browder.
Atlantis. Yes.
Amadou Kouyaté. And there were, I can't remember everyone's
and
name.
And we that's great, Ayana. We want to make sure, because we have so little time. We are walking in the footsteps, many of us, of your dad, and we're so excited that there is going to be a showing of the play who some of us have seen years ago. In fact, I believe WPFW was perhaps one of the first groups to sponsor it when you first came out with Daughter of the Struggle. But this Sunday, which is, of course, Father's Day, people can go and see this fabulous play, Daughter of the Struggle. So let's start out, Ayana, if you can briefly tell us about the play, and then we will give the details of where it's going to be and how people can get tickets.
Yes, so the play is a combination of storytelling, singing, and movement, and it's ultimately an autobiographical production, one-woman production, written and performed by me. About my father's life. It's a celebration of his life and his journey from comedy into civil rights and human rights and all that he sacrificed. And also a spotlight on my mother, who's also a mother of the movement, raising 10 children, you know, holding it down at home with all of us, but also on the front line. And then it's also my siblings' journey as well as my own. You know, so I talk about stories of, you know, my sisters who were teenagers down south, you know, and facing, you know, armed soldiers with guns pointed at them, and Ku Klux Klan. I talk about stories of my sisters, Michelle and Len, when they were 4 and 6, at 4 and 6 years old, literally marching against, marching for fair education in Chicago, and being thrown in a police car and put in jail at that age. So it's a really powerful story. It's a triumphant story. It's emotional, it's funny, it's many different things, but it's a powerful story about our family, but more importantly, just about all of us as we exist on this continuum for freedom and justice and humanity. And so as I honor my father and others, my mom and siblings, it really is an ode also for this special Father's Day presentation is certainly a tribute to fathers, and a tribute to fathers who have been there, and you know, many who have been there to children who are not even their own, and as well as fathers who, you know, my father was a father to the world, so we had to share him with everybody. So we know how this works, particularly in our community, that it doesn't have to be a blood connection, that it's just in the spirit of all fathers and men who have been there, you know, representing and putting their life on the line for the community and for humanity. So we just want everybody to come out. If you haven't seen it, please come out. You will definitely love it. If you have already seen it, come on again, bring the family. And it's intergenerational.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to have a Q&A afterwards. Actually, I believe Katia Stitt is going to be doing a question and answer with me on stage. And then we'll also, you know, open it up to the audience. So it's going to be very rich. And there's also, just FYI, it's dinner theater. So when you come, when you get your ticket in advance, you will have the opportunity to choose what kind of dinner you want. And so I think the dinner starts at 3. The show starts at 4:30, but if you want to eat, you got to get there at 3 so you can have your meal. And then the actual production starts at 4:30.
4:30, and we're going to give, in a moment, we're going to give where all the details,
the
where it is.
And all that.
But yeah. Chuck, I want to encourage you to go. Of course, this, you could create a similar play about your dad. As Ayana says, this is in honor of many dads who are out there in the front lines. That I share with Ayana reminds me a little bit of my dad. I went through a whole bunch of stuff as well. But I want to ask Ayana, and again, I take my direction in from your dad, who really is still with us. What would Mr. Dick Gregory be doing about Gaza now?
Well, you know he'd be speaking out. You know he would be speaking out against the genocide happening in Palestine. He would be fasting. We know this. He'd be fasting and praying, and reminding us to stay connected to our humanity. He would be calling for a ceasefire. He'd be calling for a free Palestine. He would encourage us to dig deeper and not be distracted by the lies and the things that the Western media wants us to focus on. And he'd also be educating folks on how the genocide happening in Palestine is connected to Congo, Sudan, Haiti, and how it's connected to the larger picture of white supremacy and the resource control and imperial domination by the Western world. He would remind us, too, that quote-unquote white supremacy, otherwise known as white fragility, is falling. And he would help us tap into this dawning of a new day that is rooted in love, universal love and light, so that we can be the change to usher in the new world. But he would not be silent. He would be in the mix, and he would be, you know, encouraging us to really be the love. And
yes, and he would be helping to organize the large numbers of people out there. So you can feel that spirit of Baba Dick Gregory on Sunday. And let's give the details, Ayana. You can help me out. And
yes, so shout out to Lynn Dyson, who made this happen. He reached out and asked if we could bring the play to his theater, Multimedia Training Institute, founded by Lynn Dyson. So get your tickets, go to mmtidc.org. That's Multimedia Training Institute, dc.org, mmtidc.org.
And also,
if you want a number to call to find out information, 202-464-5020. 202-464-5020. Again, and so the location, it's called the Cultural Cafe at Studio W. The Cultural Cafe at Studio W. The address is 5073 East Capitol Street, Southeast, 20019. The Cultural Cafe at Studio W, 5073 East Capitol Street, Southeast, 20019. Again, the show is at 4:30, but dinner starts at 3 p.m. So when you get your ticket, know that it will include a dinner. And when you click on the link, you'll see that there's an opportunity to choose the specific kind of dinner that you want. I want to give a shout out to my tech director, Free Benjamin. She's always with me making this play happen. And again, shout out to Lynn Dyson for, you know, calling us to even have this happen on Father's Day. It's going to be such a magical time to be able to do this on Father's Day. So we just want everybody to come out.
Absolutely. And that 5073 East Capitol Street, for those of us who take the Metro, that is right there on the Blue Line on Benning Road Metro. Very easy to get to on the Metro, as well as, of course, driving. That's the new Cultural Cafe at Studio W, 5073 East Capitol Street, this Sunday. Dinner at 3 p.m. The play starts at 4:30. The phone number, 202-464-5020, as Ayana said. A really riveting play, very, very relevant for today. And you will see Ayana's dad, but you will also see the spirit of many other dads, including Chuck's father, there if you watch the play. Because we know that Dick Gregory, I'm surprised that there are some people, younger people, don't know who Dick Gregory is or was, but he is still part of our family and he's still a hero. We are just about at a time, we have time to hear the end of Ayana's beautiful song.
Can I get the website one more time real quick?
Go ahead.
mmtidc.org.
Okay, thank you, and thank Mike Nocella for all your help.
Thank you.
Ballad for My Father.
Thank you so much, Joni. I love you.
Love you, too.
Will you mind so ahead of your time? Black man with the keys in your hands, you opened up the way for a new day. The original coup, you always broke the rules with the courage to tell the truth. You bring the rhythm to heal. Opened up the way for a new day. From hunger strikes to war on drugs, taking on the corporate thugs, you went to jail a thousand times, exposing white supremacy crimes. From human rights to Eden right, you led the world into the light. A universal God force, information is your power source. Fire starter, innovator, peacekeeper, magic maker, actor, author, philosopher, comedian, warrior, soul survivor, golden sun, freedom fighter, chosen one, living legend, the coolest yet. The world still ain't caught up with you yet.
The Pacifica National Board and the WPFW Local Station Board will be voting on a proposed Pacifica Bylaws Amendment between July 10th and August 24th of 2024. Information on the amendment, about how vacancies are filled on local station boards, and about the process will be posted on the Pacifica.org website.
This is your sister Kim Bay here with DJ Z Lion from Saturday evening's Culture Shack.
WPFW presents the Equality and Justice Fundraising Concert with Proverbs Reggae Band,
featuring your very own DJ Z Lion, a.k.a. Rasaya Ayubu, and special guest songbird, the captivating Freedom in Saroma Lee L.
Sunday, July 7th, 2024, 4 to 8 p.m., live and direct at Mango African Cafe, 4719 Annapolis Road in Bladensburg, Maryland. Proverbs Reggae Band keeps it culturally clean, so rock and come in, kings and queens.
Hi, this is Miyuki Williams.
And I'm Robin Holden. Join us for an unforgettable day of dancing, drinking, and great vibes at the Reggae Rhythms Fest. Feel the rhythm of the island beats and dance the day away in a celebration of good music and good times.
Whether you're a reggae aficionado or just looking for a fun day out, Reggae Rhythms Fest is the place to be. Bring your friends, bring your family, and let's make great memories together. This is a VIP event. Only 150 tickets available. Ticket price is $35. Food and beverage available for purchase.
Check Eventbrite. Search WPFW Reggae Fest. Come and join us Sunday, July 7th from 4 until 8 p.m. at the Mango Cafe.
The DC Black Fathers Matter Project, 5th Annual Father's Day Motorcade, Saturday, June 15th. The motorcade honoring black fathers will depart at 12 noon from the African American Civil War Museum at 1925 Vermont Avenue Northwest. Arrival is as early as 10:30 a.m. to participate. The motorcade will end at the Big Chair on Martin Luther King Avenue and V Street Southeast at approximately 1 p.m. DC residents are encouraged to display banners or posters in your neighborhood, community, or church. Beginning Friday, June 14th, in honor of Black Fathers. More info at 202-240-1182. That's 202-240-1182 or dcblackhistory.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
This is movement time, and when it's movement time, we can all be together.
Reverend Dr. William Barber.
We are here to announce on June the 29th at 10 o'clock on Pennsylvania and 3rd, we are calling for the Mass Poor People's Low Wage Workers Assembly.